Gotta hit the play, bro.
Oh, I thought there might be a hole produced open here, but I guess not.
Come on, Scro. Get it together.
All right, we're going to have Monty at 5:50 this afternoon.
What the heck is this music?
Horst.
What?
You're not familiar with Horst?
The concept of Horst Friday.
Horst Friday?
Yeah.
What's this guy's last name?
Jankowski.
Huh.
After E-News, we need something nice and light to settle
some
us down.
Cleanse the palate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cleanse the palate a little bit. So I always roll a little bit of Horst.
I like it.
Oh, he's incredible. He is a cheese genius. We're not here to talk about that, though. We got a whole other agenda.
We do. We do. Another behind-the-scenes look at the 25-year history of sports radio, 1310 The Ticket.
Where's Gordon?
He's here. Danny, just calm down. We're going to get to him in just a second.
I like his balls.
Okay. What's going on back there?
It's drops.
We don't know.
I'm not even here.
Well, yeah, let's welcome from the morning show, the great Gordo.
Goofy
Dr.
Deer.
Gordon Keith.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Now, you're joining us because we are focusing on something that you were a part of.
Okay.
And you know what? I'm kind of bummed out. Not kind of. I really am bummed out that this has gone away. But it's kind of our own fault that it went away because used to with the Super Bowl, it benefited our programs the most because they would have these press conferences for the halftime show sometime around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So it was right before we went on the air, after you guys got off the air. And we would wander into whatever city, whatever convention center room they had these things in. We would wander up to the first three rows, get there about 20 minutes early, waiting on the performers to get there. And the NFL would get up there and do their song and dance routine.
It'd be for the halftime performers, right?
Yes. And sometimes it would be for, they would have press conferences for the national anthem singer.
Mm-hmm.
And they would bring them out as well. So we would sit there in the right in the front of the auditorium, and they would walk out with these microphones and just hand them to us. And that was it.
Yeah,
and we
could
ask our questions, and we didn't think anything of it.
Yeah, if you wanted to ask them a question, you could. It was very open. It was very free, very easy, and you boys were the best at positioning yourselves and acting innocent enough to where they would say, okay, let's give this young man the microphone.
We always got the microphone. And there were always huge names, of course.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is what other opportunity would we have to interview some of these people?
None. Zero. Never, ever, ever. And we had a really good run back in the early aughts because everybody that they booked were all of these legendary, now dinosaur bands, but it was, the Stones, McCartney, U2, Petty, Springsteen, all back to back to back to back to back.
Do we have the list of halftime performers or something?
I can dig that up.
I think.
Yeah, look that up because that may jog our memory on something that we may.
You probably
forget.
Can look that up on your phone. That's what we like to say around here.
What's a phone?
Uh huh. But we would ask these questions.
Oh, my texter,
and
yes.
Some of them would be very silly questions. And about 10 years ago, maybe a little less than that, the NFL stopped giving us the microphone.
And why? Do we know why that happened? Because it's not like, at least I don't remember us asking really offensive questions.
They were never offensive, but what they started doing was handing the microphone to, I believe it was, I mean, it's almost like a presidential press conference. It would be the Associated Press.
I'm going to give you.
They started handing the microphone to their network partners.
Entertainment Weekly.
Oh, okay.
And then they were the only ones that would get it. And then, I remember a couple of years ago, this is when we finally stopped going because it was just pointless. But they leaned down and they had all the people that are handing out the microphones, they had their own little headset.
It's like the Secret Service.
So the first one, Corby, would probably in 99, been Gloria Estefan, Stevie Wonder. Is that when you got Stevie? Or would that have been later on?
No, that was a different one.
Okay, yeah, Stevie was when he was with Aretha and John Legend.
Okay, then the first one would have been U2.
Josh Stone. U2 was the first one?
Yeah, because you had Aerosmith in 2001, And then the year after that was U2.
Which was 9/11.
Yep.
Yes.
And so that was a really big deal. But anyway, so the ladies would, or the guys would hand us the microphone, and I remember hearing them say, who are you giving the microphone to? You could hear their ear, mm-hmm. their earpiece.
Corby. They'd ask our name, they'd look at our credential.
Yeah. And then they'd be like, no.
Right.
Corby Davidson, the ticket. Uh-uh, no. And then they would take the microphone away. I'm like, okay.
We were on a do not fly list. Yep.
Did you interview Shania Twain, No Doubt, and Sting when they were together?
We did not. But let's start off. You mentioned U2, 9/11. We were all in there, and Gordon got a question in. I mean, you have interviewed U2 now.
I know, which I think made George and Craig a little bit crazy.
It did.
And I made a joke. This is what I remember about this. I remember making a joke about Adam Clayton, and the whole room went silent.
Here we go.
U2, Gordon Keith of Sports Radio 1310, the ticket. Being such a great, tremendous, clean, good band, your fans have come to expect so much
of
you.
Better take that off, Adam.
Does Adam not shower or something?
I don't know why we don't have the rest of the question.
That's it?
That's all that we have.
We didn't save the actual question.
No. Well, for some reason, we were trying to save some room on the big hard drive. Somebody said, let's...
You're kidding.
Yeah, that's all we have. That's all I've heard for years. I don't even know what I asked after that.
Did you get a question in, or was that like next question?
No, I ended up asking a question. But I don't remember what it was.
And somebody out there must have.
Who
that.
Possibly could have edited that out?
I don't know.
Well, that was a terrible question. Let's just eliminate that it ever happened. Here, I want to hear that again, because that one joke you made about Adam was such a buzzkill.
So U2, Gordon Keith of Sports Radio 1310, the ticket. Being such a great, tremendous, clean, good band, your fans have come to expect so much
better
of you.
Better take that off, Adam.
Does Adam not shower or something?
I love you hear the throat clear back there.
Otto even clears his throat.
God.
But why was that offensive?
It wasn't.
He's making some joke about Adam. What did he mean by it?
What was the joke? You better take that off, Adam.
I have no idea.
And everybody laughed like, oh, Bono's so funny.
Even I'm courtesy laughing at him because he's Bono.
Well, I bet George hates it that you did that.
Oh, yeah. He did. Oh, they ragged me mercilessly for this.
You want me to go next in line?
See, this is what you get. This is what you get for trying to upstage. You couldn't stand it, Gordon, because U2 is getting all the attention at the U2 press conference.
You're just jealous your stupid band never got big like them.
Right. Where's your band?
This is all about you being competitive with U2. The Hemingways didn't do near as much as U2. Y'all did like half as much as U2.
Half.
The Hemingways.
So next year was Shania Twain, No Doubt.
No, we didn't do that.
The next year was Jessica Simpson with JT, Kid Rock, P. Diddy, Nelly, Janet Jackson.
You know,
that's the one that, so that was the Nipplegate, right?
Yes.
That year.
Yes, sir. The following year, go ahead.
That was Paul McCartney was the next year.
Yes, Paul McCartney's the next year, correct.
I think I got the first question with Paul McCartney.
Did you really?
I'm trying to remember whether it's the first question or not.
Whoops.
Do you have the Paul McCartney?
Yes.
Oh, we do?
I don't know. Do we?
See, yeah, we got it. This is one of my big broadcast regrets, is I asked Paul McCartney a question.
No, we don't have that one.
Who does? We don't have that? Dang it. And so I'm freaked out because Paul is sitting, you know, whatever he was, 30 feet from us. I was on one of the front rows of this thing, and I get a question, and I ask Paul... It was it was the perfect question. I knew it would get covered by a lot of media outlets because we had just had Nipplegate. They invited Paul to kind of be the wholesome return to, you know, family values, which is so funny since the Beatles were considered the end of Western culture at one point. And I asked Paul, I said, Paul, given the controversy of last year, have you given any thought as to what body part you plan on exposing?
Yes.
This halftime show. And everyone laughed, and it was, you know, a big, you know, cathartic moment because everyone was wondering, is somebody going to ask him about it? And I asked it in kind of a funny way. And so everyone laughed, and Paul is looking at me, and he goes, oh, I'm sorry, what? I couldn't hear. You know, because he was having a hard time hearing.
And then you got to ask him again.
And then I'm like, oh, my God. I've just scored with this joke.
Right.
He's asked me, what was that again?
Yeah.
and I can't repeat it.
And then you're like, do you like A Hard Day's Night?
And so I tank, and I said, oh, never mind, or something like that. And I completely bailed.
Forget it.
I completely bailed, and I hated myself ever since.
Sorry, what was that?
Oh, my goodness.
That's all right. You won the day with that.
I know. Well, yeah, and I was freaking out because I realized when he asked me to repeat it, I was looking at him, and I realized Paul McCartney is looking at me. He's actually seeing me right now. The Paul McCartney is looking at me one-on-one right now, and I completely panicked.
Now, that happened with me with the Rolling Stones.
Which was the next year in 2006, and you're not going to believe what you asked Keith Richards.
Yeah, so...
And we'll hear it.
Next? Are we doing it next? All right.
Yeah, we are. We'll do it next.
We'll do it next. All right, the great Gordo is here with us out at the Longhorn Ice House.
Thank you.
Come on out. Welcome. Join us. Have some drinks, have some fun, have some food.
Have Gordo some had sex.
Had a burger. It was fun. But we're here talking about another 25-year kick-ass ticket anniversary thing. This one focuses in on Super Bowl halftime shows and how we had a couple of moments where we got to ask questions to these legendary performers.
Oh, we had a pretty amazing run there for a while.
We did. U2, Paul McCartney, Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Billy Joel.
Mm-hmm. So
Stevie Wonder,
Tom Petty.
Now
Aretha Franklin.
That's not her name.
It's close.
The Rolling Stones one was really weird for me because that's like my band, and it's probably like McCartney. When you start to ask something, and then you realize that they're all looking at you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, the Rolling Stones are looking at.
Or in this case, they weren't looking at you at all. You had to get their attention.
I did? Okay, yeah. Well...
You're like, over here, hello?
Well, Keith... look, it was just... You can tell my shake voice here. Yeah, so here is the Stones question.
We have a question from right center.
Yeah, Keith, the running joke is... Over here. The running joke is that after a nuclear war, the only thing that'll be left standing are you and the cockroaches. What do you plan on doing to ensure that you outlive the cockroaches?
So bad.
I've got to eat them.
It's pretty dang good.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. One more question, I think. We
it's
have one over
too
here.
Too silly.
That's awesome.
Now, if you can hear underneath, you hear when Corby says it's going to be you or the cockroaches, and Keith goes, "A rats." And then you hear, Mingo, "You're so bad. So
what
bad.
Do you plan on doing to ensure that you outlive the cockroaches?
So bad.
I've got to eat them."
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
That was 20 years ago almost, and they're still playing.
Love that man so much. Still...
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Back then, you would have thought you'd given them, 2 years that point?
Maybe.
Now, why didn't the guy who was controlling the press conference, who was that said one more question?
That was Mick.
Mick said one more?
It sounded
McCarthy
like him.
McCarthy is the one that handles all those. That's the NFL. He still does it to this day. And I'm sure he's the one that blacklisted us.
Did Mick say, we'll take one more? Or did the other guy say, we'll take one more? And Mick goes, it's getting silly.
He was the one that that rides herd over there.
Does Mick Jagger not have any sense of showmanship?
No.
End on the high.
I know. Like, people are laughing.
God, the guy knows nothing about show business.
He's terrible. The Billy Joel one is way up there. Mainly because of the awkward nature. It's not just the question, it's what was going on. Because Mike had bet me $100 that I would not ask this question. And so when I stood up, and he's sitting right next to me, he turns around and contorts his body into the fetal position to be as far away from me as possible. He didn't want to know.
I'm sitting there just laughing my ass off.
He did not
because it was
be...
an insult question.
Yeah, it was. It was.
It wasn't even a question.
No, it wasn't.
Which Billy points out.
You wanted to insult his appearance.
Uh huh. Well, I was going to make some money off of it.
What a jerk.
Yeah, I know.
We have a question on the far right here.
Oh no. Yes, Billy. You got any water?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I don't. They say
now
that's the best.
I thought that was high comedy.
Yes.
You got any water? And I really don't on me right now.
I imagine you just kind of like patting down your jacket, looking inside the inner sleeve.
That's quality humor. That is quality humor.
Question
but
on
it's
the
so
right.
strange to hear him say,
you got any water?
You got any water?
Because I've heard that drop a million times, that it's shocking to hear it in context.
You got any water?
Yes, Billy. You got any water?
Yeah, sure.
I don't.
You know,
whatever they say in here.
Yeah, sure. We have an Aquafina backstage somewhere here.
Over here. Sorry. You haven't put out a new album in a while. Are the creative juices still there over here? And we were also talking about, I don't know if anyone's ever said this to you before, but you kind of morphed into a much younger version of noted Meshuggah comic Alan King.
Is that a question?
Yes.
What's the question?
Well, you just kind of...
Oh, at this point, I'm like, I want to die.
This is so tense.
I want to die.
First of all, I didn't even realize that there's a whole insult before the Alan King thing, which is that you haven't put out anything of note or anything that's new or original in a long time.
What's the deal with that? What are you, old?
So you get that in there.
Yeah.
The fact that he hadn't been relevant in a while.
Uh-huh.
And then tell him that he's morphed into a
Meshuggah comic.
To you before, but you kind of morphed into a much younger version of noted Meshuggah comic Alan King.
Is that a question?
Yes.
What's the question?
Well, you just kind of look like him. I was just wondering if anyone's ever told you that. We were discussing that earlier.
Yeah, I heard that before. You know, look, I ain't no matinee idol. I never have been. So, what was the first part?
You don't want the first part to come back. You want me done with this.
Yeah, the first part was about how you don't do anything anymore.
Oh, the first part was about the last hit 20 years ago. I don't know if you want to do that one.
Dang, man.
And then
that was the moment of moments in all of these.
You keep correcting him, saying, over here, Billy, over here.
Because he was looking in the other direction. I wanted him to look over there.
Why did you need his eye contact?
Well, I don't know. And then we had Mike handing me a $100 bill.
Right there?
Right there, like on above his shoulder, like kind of not looking at me and just reaching out and handing me $100.
That's so tense. All right. Poor Billy Joel.
Speaking of Mike, the greatest moment ever is when you told Stevie Wonder to shut up.
I didn't tell Stevie Wonder to shut up.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. I was talking to you.
Well, so yeah, but Stevie is blind.
Yeah.
And all he knows is that the guy who just asked him a question waited till Stevie started to answer the question.
He didn't even hear it.
Then
it was on mic.
Deaf. He's blind.
Right. The thing
is hear it.
You turned to me to tell me to shut up, but you pulled the mic up to your mouth to say it.
You did.
So you yelled "shut up" into the microphone.
And then there's a
that
pause.
Stevie's listening to.
Well,
so he didn't know you turned and looked at me.
All right. So here's how that went down.
We have one last question. Next week. One last question. Right here. I'm Mike Reiner, Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket in Dallas, and I'm a big fan of just about everybody out there, particularly Aretha and Stevie, and you mentioned a little while ago.
So I'm a big fan of just about everybody up there.
Why do you have to have that that insult in there?
The rest of you guys suck.
Yeah, because Stevie is on stage with Aretha Franklin, John Legend, and Joss Stone.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn about John Legend and Joss Stone.
I like half of you up here. Let's just get that out of the way.
I'm a fan of, just about everybody up there.
Particularly Stevie and Aretha.
Stevie and Aretha.
Right. So the other two, if I didn't mention you by name.
Yeah. Those who I didn't mention, for a reason.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm Mike Reiner, Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket in Dallas, and I'm a big fan of just about everybody out there, particularly Aretha and Stevie. And you mentioned a little while ago, Stevie, that you haven't really decided what you're going to play. And you also referred to your new CD that you had out. How do you determine what to play from that and how many of your old hits to play to appease everybody? Because I know you'd like to play some of the new stuff, right? I would think you would. Well,
don't argue.
I did a little. Shut up. I did a little. But,
Oh, God!
Shut up. So tense.
Shut up.
Shut up.
So weird.
Shut up.
You know that? Well, I would think you would. Well,
don't argue.
I did know. Shut up. I did know what I was doing. But,
This hurts. This hurts my head. The pause. That is Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, you told him to shut up.
And he heard it.
You asked him a question and then told him to shut up during his answer to the question you asked him.
Actually, I talked to him later on that night. We made this.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
I did too. I have his phone number.
We got Tom Petty. And this was right around the time when
this is before he died, too.
Oh,
yeah,
what?
It was a handful of years, Gordon, before he died. But it was also right around the time when Mike started doing the cover band, within a couple of years, I think. And so I had this question ready, and I knew it would go nowhere, but I just wanted to make Mike uncomfortable.
And so, boy, he did, too.
We have a question on the right. Tom, hey, I'm Corby Davidson from The Ticket in Dallas, and my friend here is very humble, who just asked you the question about your old records. He actually, he fronts a Tom Petty cover band in Dallas. He would never admit that to you, but he does. He's been doing it for a while, and obviously you're a gigantic influence on him. But
probably a point that doesn't need to be made.
You're saying that Tom Petty was your biggest influence in the Tom Petty cover band?
Gigantic influence on him. But, A, I wanted to know how you guys feel about the cover bands out there, if that's even a big issue with you at all. And if it isn't a big issue, I would love it if maybe he could hum a few bars of American Girl and you could critique him.
Do we get paid?
Well, first of all, no. And
what was the question?
The only thing about cover groups, you know, is as long as they're not better than us, it's all right.
Trust me, Tom, they're not quite there
okay,
yet.
Then we'll tolerate that.
Put a question right to here.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Gosh. We had an interaction with Tom Petty.
Yeah, you did.
No?
It is.
That was 2008, 11 years ago.
That was another one that I was just kind of sitting there turning away from, hoping that he didn't see me.
Putting you on the spot like that?
Yeah.
Would you have sung a little bit for him if he had asked?
No.
Oh, God.
If Tom Petty asked you to sing something,
yeah,
you're not going to do it.
I want
to
hear you sing,
yeah,
brother. Let's
ahead.
Do it.
I'd love to hear it before I'm on the living room floor.
Shut up.
Lifeless.
Right.
Shut up.
Right.
Shut up.
That's what he would have done. What do you have left?
Do you have any fentanyl or anything
on
you?
Can you sing me something before I put a tab of fentanyl up my anus?
Oh, my.
Or whatever.
Yeah. It doesn't really matter.
Yes.
Is that it? Are we done?
We got Black Eyed Peas. We can squeeze it in real quick, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, so Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas, this was in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing a commercial for Dr. Pepper, and it showed her, I don't even remember the context of the commercial. Maybe it's in the question, but it was something
for Pepsi.
Way to go, right? Corby.
Whatever. It was something where she tied a cherry stem and then slammed a Dr. Pepper, denoting
the cherry Dr. Pepper.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. So yeah, now I figured it out. Anyway, so I got props. I brought in a Dr. Pepper, like a cherry Dr. Pepper, and an actual cherry, and I was holding them up. And I asked her this:
we have a question here in the center with a microphone.
With a microphone.
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
Hi, guys. Welcome to town. I'm Corby Davidson with The Ticket in Dallas, actually. Fergie, first off, your performance with Mick at that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing with Gimme Shelter was quite epic. It was great. It had to be cool. Although I am a big fan, I question the authenticity of your cherry Dr. Pepper commercial. But I'm going to give you a chance to prove me wrong. You can either tip this cherry Dr. Pepper back in 6 seconds, which is what it took you, or I brought a cherry stem. You can tie that. Or, since that means you're a good kisser, we can just skip everything and you can give me a kiss.
Oh, now you're talking. Now, wow, a little daredevil over there.
Okay, we have another question over
here. Oh, my God.
And that was the last time you ever got it to interview a Super Bowl performer.
Yeah, that was it.
That was it.
2011.
We have more questions over here. He's like the John Blake of the Super Bowl.
Very premature.
Wow, a little daredevil over there.
Okay, we have another question over here, I believe.
another question over here, I believe.
In Japanese, with the microphone, with the man wearing the clothes.
And that is how I came
we'll
to
take
an
questions.
End for the ticket at the Super Bowl.
Do you remember when they stonewalled us on the Madonna thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we were in line for the Madonna thing. We were like the first couple people who were supposed to ask her a question, and they kept skipping over us. And they kept saying, okay, yeah, you're next, you're next.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
And they had a whole game plan of how they were going to appease us by telling us, yeah, you're next, you're next. You're
right.
Next. And then they kept going around the room.
Just couldn't do it. Well, thanks, Great Gordo.
Yeah, thank you for coming out, Goofy Deer.
Those
are good memories.
That was fun times.
I love you, Danny.
I love your pants.
All right. The hottest guy in the NHL.
Do I need to be here for this one?